As is often the case, the themes for my podcast topics tend to materialize during training. And I'm sitting here, I've just finished training, I should probably get a shower. But instead, I thought of today's topic. Today's topic is, what kind of teacher are you? And I'm saying that to myself, so if I'm saying that to me, I'm probably saying that to you. What kind of teacher are we? Kia ora, I'm Tuari Dawson, and you're listening to the Invisible Sensei podcast. The words that spring to mind in terms of my teaching style are dynamic, by example, superhuman, and a whole lot of other lies, which I'm not. I think that if I had to characterize my teaching style, I think it's like what would happen if you took someone who has extreme ADHD, or as they used to call it when I was a kid, hyperactivity, and said, right, teach a bunch of things. And if you've been in one of my classes or you've trained with me online, you can probably already hear that I am somewhat of a clown. But I take martial arts extremely seriously. And the reasons that we do it, and more importantly, the varied reasons that we practice. So how I was taught and how I teach, I think it's kind of like a smorgasbord of things. Every time I got in front of a teacher, there was something that they were obviously trying to impart, but there was also something that I probably took from the experience. And sometimes what I took from the experience is, oh, I'm never doing that. But then there were people who just blew my mind, and people who just were inspiring human beings and inspiring martial artists and inspiring teachers. And for me, I guess we go through several stages as martial artists. And if you've listened to Hunchy Cesar Bukowski on this podcast, he has this thing that he talks about, which I think is very apt, and I'm going to be paraphrasing. But in essence, he talked about that as you progress in the grades, you have responsibility to pass on the information such as it is and such as your level to other people. And I kind of like that. I really think that is a really healthy way of looking at martial arts. It's the idea that we can help other people to get to where we are. And I think in my early life, I had a lot of really great martial artists, really great fighters, and really great teachers. Now, not every time did those three things, those three elements, go together. And, you know, you kind of pick and choose, as I said. And how would I characterize my teaching style? Well, I have been training for 47 years this year. And I say that not as a boast, I say it as a statement of fact. And yet I'm still trying to get things right. And my students, sometimes I have these things called aha moments, where I have these really, really great ideas. And they're the kind of great ideas that really I should probably talk to some of my colleagues about before I run off at the mouth. And that's the problem with having someone like me as being, I guess, the head instructor. And there's many times in class where my friends who are also fellow instructors will kind of go along with it, and then later we'll have some words about it. And yes, that is what my friend Tua once described as a Tuari aha moment. Yes, I have many aha moments. But I think also my particular take, at least where I am this year and at this stage in my training, is that I try to customize my teaching to whoever's in front of me, whoever I'm working with. And, you know, that's easier for me, I guess, because I don't have a great number of students. I don't have thousands of students or hundreds of students. I have, you know, a small, good proportion of students from a cross-section, a lot of kids. So I get an opportunity to do that. The problem is sometimes standardization. Standardization in the sense that I may teach something one way, and because I have other instructors who are in the dojo who are coming with their own experiences and their own take on different kata or techniques, they will do what they think is right and which makes sense to them, which is completely cool. But then the student obviously has to kind of go, oh, which one do I follow? And it can become quite, confusing for the student. Also, in my teaching style, I have a background in jiu-jitsu and a bunch of other things. And I think probably in my personal interpretation, there's a lot of that that kind of creeps in. I'm not saying that I throw a whole bunch of things together, but I think you can't help but be influenced by that. And I guess that I do it within the syllabus, such as it is. And I am very aware of the fact that some of my other students and fellow sensei perhaps have not had that experience, or they bring something else. So it's a real interesting kind of hodgepodge of stuff at times. And I guess I can be a difficult act to follow, not in terms of technique, but in terms of where's this guy's head at? Because I kind of tend to really customize my teaching style, which on the one hand is really cool and, you know, down with the kids, but on the other hand is actually really hard to follow. So we have a syllabus, a specific syllabus, that I guess I kind of know, pardon the expression, it's a New Zealand expression, balls to bone. And I think that sometimes because I've internalized it, and because, you know, I guess I composed it, for want of a better term, that I forget that sometimes people don't always teach, learn, or practice in that way. So whilst I'm out there kind of moving, some people are playing chess and I'm playing checkers, and then some people are playing chess and or checkers, and I'm out there trying to use the chessboard as a cricket bat. Yes, cricket is a thing. Well, let's say a baseball bat for American listeners. And it can be really, really confusing. I think my strengths as a teacher is that I can be quite creative, and I find ways to impart singular principles in lots of different ways. Now, whether or not that is effective, you'd have to speak to my students or people who train with me. And of course, it's all about context. What I try to teach to a student, to an ongoing student, is going to be different to what I teach to someone who's in on the first night. And then, of course, there's the issue of training someone who has some experience, who's been your student for a while, and kind of has a sense of how you teach and what you're kind of looking for. And then there's other factors, like having someone in the dojo who's perhaps coming from another style or from another teacher, that can always be an interesting adjustment in terms of teaching that person. I think for me, what I try to do is, if I am teaching, then I'm training. And I don't always mean that that's in the dojo while I'm teaching. I think sometimes for me, I know some people might kind of roll their eyes at this, but I think sometimes I need to be a teacher rather than a student, which probably is not very martial artsy philosophical. but what I mean by that is, in a class situation, I'm needing to kind of observe, rove around the ranks and have a look at what people are doing and be a teacher. And I think sometimes you have to make, well, I know for me, I have to make the decision, am I training or am I teaching? Because sometimes it's not possible to do both. However, having said that, there are situations and classes where I'm going, look, actually tonight I'm going to get a really good stretch and everyone's just going to do it with me. And then we're going to practice some particular techniques and everyone's going to do it with me. I guess that's kind of the prerogative of the instructor. In Māori, there is a particular word, and it's hoha, hoha. Hoha means a pain, a problem, or an issue that, you know, you just, yeah, it just troubles you. And for me, one of the biggest issues that I have had in the past has been, within our dojo, is certification. Getting that Udansha certificate or that Q grade, or doing something nice so you can really mark the effort of your students when they're going for a promotion, is one of the things that I try and make a big deal of, because, you know, you want to mark that their sweat, their toil, their hard training, all those sorts of things in an appropriate way. Now, of course, you can go online and you can find a million certificates, kind of not cookie cutter certificates, some great ones out there, I'm sure. Or you can do what I do. And if you've listened to the podcast for a while, you would have heard my interview with Dan Bonato Sensei, incredible practitioner, Tang Sudo, Katori Shintoryu, amongst his many, many talents. He is also the martial calligrapher. His calligraphy, now when you watch him do calligraphy, it is actually some of the most relaxing stuff to watch. But what he does is he custom makes certificates, chops, a whole bunch of different things. And when I say chops, I don't mean, you know, like pork chops, you get what I mean, seals and things like that on certificates. And I have a friend of mine here in New Zealand who ordered a scroll for his dojo and is absolutely ecstatic about it. It's beautiful, it came in good time and was beautifully done. And so this is not a, by any way, shape or form, a paid promotion, but look, it's just quality. If you get an opportunity, click the link in the description for this podcast, use the code InvizSen, hit up Dan, check him out on Instagram under the Martial Calligrapher, and you'll see what I mean. So if you're looking for some really beautifully custom-made certificates or scrolls and all those sorts of things, he is our man. With a letter 10 who will hook you up. So do check out Sensei Dan Bonato, the martial calligrapher, and I promise you, tell him I sent you. They don't tell him I sent you, that might not be a good thing. But do check it out on Instagram, and look, if you're looking for something beautiful, he is completely the man to look for, the martial calligrapher on Instagram. The guiding principle, I think, in teaching is the idea that good teachers to me are like gateways, and you get to decide whether or not you're going to walk through the gate or the door or whatever the metaphor may be. And I think really good teachers are not kind of trying to direct you to be them, they're trying to direct you to surpass them, or at least to surpass yourself, to find out what you're capable of. And I know that sounds really airy-fairy, but I think it's really true. The scary bit, as you would have heard me talk about teaching people, is that, you know, there's the heartbreak of them leaving or finding something else or just not turning up. You know, they're just kind of part and parcel of any sort of situation. And I think as long as I kind of keep an even kind of keel in terms of my emotional state when that happens, things go pretty well. I mean, you know, like I teach a lot of children, as probably you do, and, you know, they get to a certain point and they just go on to something else. You know, life changes, the circumstance changes, they start becoming interested in other things and sports and activities and all of those kind of things. The challenge in that situation is to not take it personally. I hope that people are able to take things away from my teaching that they can apply in their everyday life. Maybe it's about how to deal with a problem in a more constructive way. Maybe it's something as mundane as being able to center yourself in a conflict situation. And I don't mean, you know, the knife fights that occur in, if you're a bank teller having lunch in the lunchroom or whatever the situation is. I mean, in terms of, you know, you are dealing with someone whose energy, perhaps there's kind of a bullyish kind of energy, or there's some issue. It's, I guess, being able to sort through things in a crisis situation and keep things in perspective and keep things in proportion. And in February of this year, we had the Goju Guys seminar, which was an opportunity for me to view, experience, and learn from a group of different teachers. And there were very specific styles of teaching that were going on. All of them were awesome, but very distinctive. And you could see the experience and the ways in which the senior sensei had metabolized what they were doing and found ways to impart it. And it was quite amazing. And I think that is something which I like to do. When it comes to teaching, I like to look at people who teach. I like to people who speak. I like to look at people who inspire, because I think for me, I hope, I don't think students are coming away from my classes going, my gosh, I found my purpose in life or anything like that. But I think that I want people to come away feeling a little closer to themselves, a little surer of themselves. I'm not big on the whole sort of, you're a piece of shit, do push-ups approach. Although, you know, there is some really specific processes in terms of adherence to custom is really important to me. Discipline, self-discipline is really important to me in class. Having said that, I think that if we can find ways to both honour where we're from in terms of stylistically, teachers that we've learnt from, and we're able to impart what we're doing in ways that make sense to us, I think we're all going to be much better for the effort. And I think the style in martial arts as a practice will become so much richer because of that. And what kind of teacher am I? What kind of teacher are you? Well, there's the teachers I had, there's the teachers I'd like, and there's the teacher that I am. And hopefully, the teacher that I am is teaching in a way that I would have liked to have been taught when I was young and coming up.